The scriptures Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago all had one thing in common. They dealt with the word life, the subject of life. If I had a text verse tonight for my sermon, I'd use 1 Timothy 5:6, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." But tonight I want to talk to you along the line of life. Life was Jesus' favorite word. He was constantly praising life. He was constantly promising. And everything was tested by whether it nourished. That which nourished life was good, and that which injured life was bad. The truth is, his reason for us to do good is because good is life, and bad is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the truth is, sin is death, and good is life. I didn't say good brings life. I didn't say sin brings death. I said that good is life, and sin is death. The main reason that Jesus had for us not to sin is because sin is death, and good is life. Now, our purpose for being against sin would be purposes would be different. For example, we think sin is bad because sin brings pain. And that's true. We think sin is bad because sin hurts other people. And certainly that's true. We think sin is bad because sin destroys proper order. And certainly that is true. We think sin is bad because sin is unlovely. And that likewise is true. However, God thinks sin is bad primarily because sin is death. That is a great enemy of God. And that's why God spoke, and our Savior spoke so much about life. He that hath the Son hath life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And over again, especially in the Gospel of John, especially in those chapters 14 and following, up through verse probably 17, our Lord constantly reminds us of life. And also in that marvelous epistle of 1 John, over and over again, God's favorite word is used, which is life. Now let me explain. Now, this is where I'm going to have a hard time explaining it to you. I hope I'm qualified and capable of doing it, and I hope you're capable of following me. There are three forms of life in this world. There is plant life, there is animal life, and there is human life. Now, I'm not talking tonight about just spiritual life. I'm talking about three forms of life in this world. You are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. But there are three forms of life in this world: plant life, animal life, human life. Plant life has only a body. Animal life has a body and a soul. Human life has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, death is the ceasing to be, follow me? Death is the ceasing to be of any one of these lives. When a plant ceases to be a plant, it dies. When an animal dies, that life is gone. Death is ceasing to be any one of these. For example, when man dies physically, he ceases to be an animal. You see, your body is much like the body of an animal. You have a body. Animals have bodies. You have a soul. And animals have souls to the extent that God breathed in a man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the breath of life makes man a living soul. But animals do not have spirits. Now, some of you might think, well, how does things animals have souls? No, you're getting the soul and the spirit mixed up. The soul is that which makes the body live. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And a man dies physically, he ceases to be an animal, but the spirit still lives. When a man dies spiritually, he ceases to be a human. Now, that's the most important thing I'm going to say tonight, and it also is a throwback to an entire sermon I preached several months ago, maybe a year ago. But when man dies spiritually, he ceases to be a human. We don't understand, but that man in his fullness in the Garden of Eden was human, made in the image of God, and Jesus was and always will be human. No, I didn't say sinful humanity. I said human. Jesus has always been the human part of the Godhead. We as human beings were made after His nature. Our nature was like His. So Adam and Eve were much like Jesus, because Jesus always was human. Now, that means this. That means that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they ceased to be human. They were not anymore made in the likeness of Christ. They were not anymore made for the fulfillment of the purpose of their creation. So when man dies spiritually, he ceases to be human. But the animal still lives. So man does not use the difference between man and animal. Now follow me carefully. When you cease to use the difference between man and animal, then you have died spiritually. The spirit part of you has died. And you are just animal, and body and soul. That's all you are. Because you're not using... See, sin is death. Now, when you cease to fulfill what a human's supposed to fulfill, then you die, and only the animal part of you lives. Because that spirit of you ceases to fulfill its purpose. Now, hear me carefully. Sin is anything outside the purpose of God for your life. I want to draw a little circle here tonight. And I want to just make a little imaginary circle. Just suppose there's a circle right here. Now, that circle is God's purpose for your life. Anything outside that purpose is sin. See what I said? Sin is not something that is committed. Sin is something that is entered. And here is the purpose of God for your life. Now, it may be that you're passing out tracts outside this circle, but you're in sin. It may be that you're praying outside that circle, but you're in sin. Because sin is being outside that circle. So then if sin, here's the message, if sin is outside that circle, and if sin is death, then death is outside that circle. So if you live outside that circle, you breathe, but you're dead. You live in pleasure, and pleasure... Pleasure doesn't mean fun. Pleasure doesn't mean amusement parks and ball games and picnics. Pleasure means doing what you want to do. Pleasure means you do what you please. You decide what you do. When you decide what you do, you get outside the circle. Outside that circle is sin. See, if you're not what God made you to be and doing what God made you to do where God made you to do it, then you're living in sin. We talk about somebody that's living in adultery. He's living in sin. So are you if you're not in the middle of where God wants you to be. The sin is not basically what you're doing outside that circle. The sin is being outside that circle. So consequently, anything that is outside the circle, let me illustrate. I am the God intended for me, and God has ordained that I be a preacher. And God has ordained that I pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now, only there am I using my spirit. There is the only place that I can be alive. Follow me carefully. The only place that I can be alive is pastoring the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Because that's where God intends me to be and what God intends me to do. And anything outside of that is my own pleasure. I'm pleasing myself. I'm doing what I want to do. And that's sin. Sin is doing your will instead of His will. And sin is death. So a person who's living outside that little circle where God wants him is living or is in death. He's not in life. Now he breathes like a dog breathes. He lives like a dog lives. But as far as his spirit is concerned, he's living life that is dead. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And that's not talking about she that liveth in drunkenness is dead while she liveth. And that's not talking about she that liveth in adultery is dead while she liveth. And that's not talking about she that liveth and worketh in Las Vegas is dead while she liveth. And that's not talking about she that goes to the dirty movies, and all of them are dirty as far as I'm concerned. X, R, P, G, Y,
U-S-T-A-B-C-D-E. They're all dirty. They all come to the same old cesspool of Hollywood. All of them do. But it's not talking about when it says she that liveth in pleasure. It's not talking about that. It means she that lives doing what she pleases to do is dead while she liveth. If you live where you want to live and not inside the circle where you're supposed to be, you're dead while you live. Why? You're living in pleasure. Not in the sense we use the word pleasure, but the sense God uses the word pleasure in the fact that you're pleasing yourself. I'm amazed that people can say, I want to move to Florida because it's cold up north. That's no reason to move to Florida. Because that's according to your pleasure. That's what you want to do. I want to move back home. Now, home is where God wants you to be. But it's amazing how sinful so-called spiritual people can be. We do what we want to do, and that's what God calls pleasure. Anything outside that circle, ladies and gentlemen, is sin. And sin is death. So if I live outside that circle, I don't live. I die. Because I'm living where I want to be, not where God wants me to be. So it doesn't matter. But somebody said, over the house, there are many spots in the world where a person could be in the will of God. You won't find that in the Bible. There is only one place you're supposed to be. There's only one thing that God wants you to do. Anything outside that circle is sin. And sin is death. Why? Now follow me. Because you're not using the spirit part of you to make your decision. You're using the animal part of you to make your decision. An animal can get in out of the cold. An animal can like to eat something that's good. When you decide to use the senses, hearing, seeing, smelling, feeling, you decide to use those senses to make your decisions in life, you are not using the spiritual part of you to make your decisions. The animal part of you is making those decisions, and humanly, you're dead. Because humanly, you're made in the image of God. And unless you are using the spiritual part of you, you're dead. She that liveth in pleasure, she that liveth doing what she wants to do, is dead while she liveth. She that goeth where she wants to go is dead while she liveth. She that has what she wants to have is dead while she liveth. She that lives where she wants to live is dead while she liveth. She that works where she wants to work is dead while she liveth. She that does what she wants to do is dead. That's what pleasure is. She does as she pleases. Now, the only people in this world who are alive other than animal life, I'm talking other than a cow in the field, other than a dog in the doghouse, air conditioned or not. I said to my son's school class this morning, I know how that dog felt. I've been in the doghouse 40 years. But listen to me. Listen to me. You are no more human than Bozo the dog. Bozo the dog, Fido the dog, or a Bossy the cow. You're no more human than they are if you use the instincts that they use to make your decisions. Listen, the other night I was driving home. Within 3 blocks of our house, I saw 3 possums. 3. Now, those possums, when they got close to the car, something told them to run. And they did. Now, they made that with physical instinct. They didn't pray and say, God is leading me on the other side of that road. No, they didn't say that. Now, the truth is, when you decide where you live according to the weather, and I'm not being unkind, I'm on Bible ground tonight. When you decide in life, many of our young people graduate from high school, and they choose their vocations on the basis of how much money they can make and what kind of house they can live in. Now, that's animal instinct choosing. That's like Bossy the cow chooses. That's like Fido the dog chooses. Using something, I want to go where it tastes good. I want to go where it feels good. I want to go where it sounds good. I want to go where I like to be. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what God calls pleasure. And that is death, because that is outside the circle of God's plan for your life, and that's life, and anything outside that circle is sin, and sin is death. I'm amazed how carnal spiritual people are. I'll tell you what, I've never seen all my life fundamentalist people being as carnal as they are today. And I've never seen the members of First Baptist Church as carnal as we are today either. Never seen it all my life. We have gotten a place in fundamentalism to where we have gotten up the ladder now. We wear nice clothes. We have chandeliers. We have carpets. We have padded pews. We have a little extra money. And what we are doing, what we've done is this. We have lived according to our own desires and tacked a little religion on it to make ourselves have a good conscience. But you have no right to do what you please. Because if you do, you're dead while you live. You have no right to live where you please. You are using animal instincts. You understand what I'm saying? You are using animal instincts to make your decisions of life. When you use those animal instincts, you're using the same instinct that the birds do when they fly south. And back when they fly back north. That's animal instinct. A bird can't pray and say, God, where do you want me to be? Though probably he's nearer where God wants him to be than we are. An animal can't say that. A dog can't say it. A cat can't say it. A frog can't say it. But man can. And God has a purpose for every life and a place for every one of his people. And outside that place is sin. Oh, you say, this is the life. No, it's not. It's the death. It's the death. Why? It's outside life. Outside that circle is sin. Look, if God wants you to be somewhere and you're somewhere else, is that disobedience? Isn't disobedience sin? All right. Then if disobedience is sin death? So since sin is death and disobedience is sin, then disobedience is death. So outside, listen, I think I have fun. I'll guarantee you, those of you that live for the satisfaction of your own senses, I'll guarantee you, I laugh twice as much as any of you. I'll guarantee you. You ask anybody who hangs around me, I'll guarantee you, I laugh twice as much as any of you. Why? Because I'm living, not dying. I wish I could sit down and explain to each person what I'm talking about tonight. Life is more than a barbecuing some steaks on the back porch. Now, I'm not against that. But, I mean, most of us, that's our life. We live where the body says, the eyes say, I like it here. I was talking to fellows a while ago, and I said, where somebody lives and what kind of so-called beauty they have in their house is the most overrated thing in the world. I'll guarantee you that happiness in this world is. I guarantee you that the higher you get in nice houses, the less happiness you got inside the house. Now hold it. I'm not saying everybody in a nice house is unhappy. I'm saying percentage-wise, I'll guarantee you that the higher the house and the more luxury in the house, the less happiness that's in the house. I'll guarantee you. Why? Because when you live according to your fleshly appetites, and I'm not talking about adultery and fornication and lesbianism, all of that's rotten and all that's the devil. But anywhere outside that circle is of the devil too. Let me illustrate. Here's a soldier in battle, supposed to be in battle. Now this soldier belongs to the 505 Battalion. The 505 Division. Certain battalion, certain regiment, certain battalion, certain company, certain squad. It's time to fight. Now that soldier has a squad. He has a platoon. He has a company. He has a battalion. He has a regiment. He has a division. Now, if that soldier is not where he's supposed to be, he's not a soldier. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, listen to me. Hey, wake up. Listen to me. The only place that soldier can be a soldier is to be there where the commanding general has said he's supposed to be. Anything else or any other place outside that is AWOL. What does it mean? He may be out passing out tracts while the battle's going on, but he's AWOL. He may be at home telling his mother what a good cook she is, but he's AWOL. He may not smoke a cigarette while he's outside that battle, but he's AWOL. He may not kick a drink while he's outside, but he's AWOL. You are not a good Christian because you don't drink, smoke, curse, spit on the sidewalk on Sunday, or chew tobacco. You are only a good Christian if you are inside that circle where God has ordained you be. Doesn't matter what you're doing outside the circle. If you're praying, it's still your AWOL. And he's not a soldier. He may have a uniform on, but if he's home, when he's supposed to be in battle, he's not a soldier. He may carry the name, but he's not a soldier. As far as the United States Army is concerned, he's dead. It doesn't matter what he does outside. It is not choose a squad, choose a battalion, as long as you're in the Army. Some of you sailors back here, decide, I hate this area up here. I'm going to leave this Great Lakes Naval Training Base, and I'm going to go out, and I feel led of God to go out to San Diego out there, one of those ships out there. Try it. That's the way the Christian Army does. I know preachers right in the center of God's will get discouraged and want to change. They're animals. They're not. They're dead spiritually. They're dead while they live. Why? Because they're letting fear of the battle make the decision for them. They're letting discomfort make the decision for them. They're letting fear to fight make the decision for them. I'm saying, anywhere outside that circle is sin, and sin is death. And you are dead spiritually outside that circle. Well, you sit with the house, how do you find out where you're supposed to be? Well, a good place to start would be ask him. And ask him and ask him and ask him and ask him. And then another good place to start would be you crucify your own fleshly animal appetites as far as where you want to go is concerned. Somebody lives somewhere because he's got pretty flowers. Animal can do that. He's dead while he lives. He's outside the circle, the circumference of what God wants him to do. And I'll say again. Okay, illustration I've used once before. A man in this church came to me. I don't know if he's here now or not. I didn't know him well. But he said to me, he said, Brother Howells, I just want to thank you. He said, I've got 4 children that have grown up here. Now follow me. And I'm trying to piece this together exactly like it was, and I may make one mistake about one of these, but I don't think I am. But the illustration is still the same. He said, Pastor, I have a son who's always liked sports. So my son went to Christian college, and because he liked sports, he majored in athletics. He's now a coach in a Christian school. I'm really proud of him. It's turned out well. He said, I have a daughter who loves music. Music's the thing she loves, and because she loves music, she went to Christian college and studied music, and she's now a music teacher in a Christian school, and I'm proud of her. He said, I have another son who always liked mechanics, always fiddling around with engines, motors, and so forth. And that son studied mechanics, and he's a mechanic. Now, he said, he's a good member of a church. I think he said he's a Sunday school teacher, an usher or something, faithful. He said, all of my kids are tithers. Now, he said, I had a fourth who loved figures. He loved numbers and mathematics and so forth. And he's an accountant. Went to a Christian school. He said, I got a lot to be thankful for, Brother Hiles. He said, all 4 of my children went to Christian schools, They all four are faithful to church. All four tithe. All four hold offices in the church. And he said, I'm proud of my children. They turned out right. I didn't tell him this, but it's true. None of them turned out right. You're not supposed to be a teacher in a Christian school, musical teacher in a Christian school, because you like music. That's the way the animal chooses where he grazes. You're not supposed to be a coach in a Christian school because you like athletics. That's the same reason that an animal chooses what he eats. You're not supposed to be an accountant because you like mathematics. You're not supposed to be a mechanic because you like engines and to fiddle with engines and like to be like mechanics. You are supposed to be a mechanic if God Almighty has ordained you to be a mechanic. Let Him choose. And that means the animal part is not choosing and you're still alive. While the animal's alive, the spirit's still alive. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Oh, we like things. Oh, she that dances and she that drinks and she that smokes and she that takes dope. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about somebody who lives according to his own pleasure. Pleases himself. Does what he wants to do. You're only supposed to be a music teacher in a Christian school if that's that circle for you where God wants you to be. You're only supposed to be a Christian coach or a mechanic or an accountant if God Almighty has ordained it. I've never been as hungry in my life as I am tonight for God's people to be spiritual. Never have. Most of us are dead. We're inhuman. Why are we inhuman? Because to be human, you've got to be in the will of God. Jesus was human. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. He said, I always please him that sent me. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He came to do the Father's will for his life, and that's what human is. I made a statement in a sermon a year or so ago. Now, a fellow says, I'm my own man. No, you're not. You're your own cow. You're your own animal. I want to be my own man. You're not man enough to be your own man. What you're saying is, I want to be my own animal. I want to be my own beast. I want to be my own dog. You're making decisions like your puppy dog makes decisions. You're not making decisions on the basis of the spirit side. This is where God wants me. Anything outside that is sin. Let me tell you something, folks. You were in sin long time before you drank. And you're in sin a long time before you smoke. And you're in... Listen, the person in this room tonight who doesn't drink, doesn't stroke or smink, the person that doesn't droke or smink in this room tonight, and thank God I don't droke or smink either one. The person that doesn't smoke or drink in this room, people in this room tonight who don't drink, who don't smoke, who don't curse, who don't dance, who live a clean moral life, you're just as much in sin as the people that do if you've crossed that line outside that circle. It's getting out of that circle that's what sin is. Well, what's wrong with drinking? Drinking draws you out of the circle. What's wrong with smoking? Smoking draws you out of the circle. What's wrong with cursing? Cursing draws you out of the circle. What's wrong with adultery? Adultery draws you out of the circle. But the sin is getting outside the circle. And when you get outside that circle, you're dead. It's summertime. And the animals are going to prowl. Some of you folks will go on vacation, and for 2 or 3 weeks, you'll do nothing but be an animal. You'll be dead while you live. You won't read your Bible 5 minutes a day while you're gone. You won't pray 5 minutes a day while you're gone. You'll live like animals. There are things wrong with this. And by the way, let me just go ahead and say it. In the summertime, you're supposed to live like Christians ought to live. Child of God hadn't gotten any business stripping off half naked and lying on a beach somewhere. But it's summer. I don't care what summer. I was down in Florida preaching the night. I said, I don't care. I preach against drinking in Milwaukee and tobacco in North Carolina. I preached in North Carolina several years ago and they closed the meeting out on Monday night because I let them have it on tobacco. Tobacco's wrong. I don't care where you live. Or if you make your living selling it, making it, raising it. That's down in North Carolina preaching. And this farmer met me at the airport. The pastor sent him. Good man. Had a hole in his head, but he's a good man. I mean, really, salt of the earth kind of fellow. He was driving me back. We were driving through the farmland. And the corn was in terrible shape. And I said, my, I never saw the corn in North Carolina look so bad. He said, yeah, he said, we've got a bad corn crop. But he said, God sure has given us a good tobacco crop this year. And then he went, ooh. Now listen to me. It's summertime. Let's don't be animals. Let's don't be dead. Stay inside that circle. Some of you folks don't go to Las Vegas. You're going to gamble one time on those little doojiggers just because you want to see how it's like. That's wrong. Sin. I get letters every week almost. Somebody says to me, Brother House, we are moving to a certain area. You know of a good church there. You shouldn't go to an area unless God leads you to that area. Wherever Montgomery Ward leads, I'll go. That's our theme song. No, Montgomery Ward doesn't draw that circle. Oh, but Brother Hiles, I got a raise in pay. Make twice as much there. Woof. Moo. Moo. Oh, but preacher, I'm so tired of this cold weather. Sit still. I can't wait till I retire and get out of here. Ruff.
Meow.
What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Hey, what's wrong with us? We're outside that circle. And the decisions we make, basically, now, as long as, fully on what God wants us to do, as long as we're out here not smoking. If you're out there not smoking or smoking, you're still in sin. Sin is rebellion against God. As far as I know, Adam and Eve did not, in the Garden of Eden, commit one single thing that you and I would categorize as sin. As far as I know, not one thing that we call bad sin did Adam and Eve commit in the Garden of Eden. The only sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden was not depending upon God for what they ought to do. That's all. They didn't depend on God. That's all. Now, folks, if you're outside that circle, not drinking, I don't think you've got much to say about somebody that's drinking outside that circle. You're both in sin. And neither of you is human. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Hiles. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to be my own man. That's a statement of a weakling that wants to convince you he's strong. He's dead while he lives. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She that lives according to her own desires is dead while she liveth. I said a while ago, God has ordained that I be... By the way, did you know the Bible wasn't written for preachers only? Oh, God! Hide our preacher behind the cross while I sleep. Woof! Oh, God! Fill our preacher with the Holy Spirit. How about you? Oh, God! Help our preacher to follow God's will. How about you? Suppose I got tonight and I said, folks, I've had an offer. A certain church has offered me 3 times as much money as I can make here.
And only that, it's in Southern California. Where's that animal over there? You hear him? He went, woof, men. Moo, men. And I said, I'm resigning tonight. I'm taking that church because it's three times as much money, and I'm a little tired of this area, and I'm getting older, and it's time I got out of the cold weather. Everybody in this room will go home tonight, you'll be disappointed in me. Just like I am in you sometimes. And God's as disappointed in you as He is in me. You have no more right to go somewhere for more money than I do. And neither one of us has a right. That's outside the circle. That's animal stuff. That's making the decisions of our lives on the basis of the animal, the plant, and so the animal, body, soul, and not the spirit. And so what are we doing? We're dead spiritually. We're dead while we live. I'm only in the will of God tonight as pastor of this church. And only there can I use my spirit. There's only one place that I can be alive tonight. And that's inside the circle of God's will. To go outside the circle of God's will is letting the animal decide. And so I'm dead. I'm not human anymore. Jesus comes and offers me life by getting back into the circle. Here's what's sad. Most of us make our decisions about what we're supposed to do while we're unqualified to make those decisions. I preached a sermon here one time on don't move when the decision maker is broken. And most of us make our decisions while the decision maker is broken. Talked to a pastor last week. Stood up and told his people he's thinking about leaving. And I said, man, why did you do that? Well, he said, I'm thinking about leaving. I said, why? He said, I've never been so discouraged in my life. I said, get you a Bible and read it. You'll get encouraged. And so what's he doing? He's going to leave his church on the basis of a decision that he's making while he's unqualified to make that decision. That's tragic, heartbreaking, and heartrending. I'm living tonight. I'm alive. I'm a human. Human. You know why I'm inside that circle? Doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Anything outside that circle is sin. Sin is disobedience. If God wants me at a certain place, sin is not being there. Now, what I do at the other place doesn't change it. The sin is not being there. The soldier that's AWOL, he's drinking Coca-Cola or beer, not the important thing. The fact he's not fighting the battle. The Christian soldier that's not where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to be doing, is AWOL. Doesn't matter whether you're testifying or cussing. You're in sin and you're dead. Because any one of the three parts, three lives, a plant ceases to do what it's supposed to do, it dies. An animal ceases to live physically, the physical part's dead. A human who ceases to live in the spirit has entered into the animal, and the animal's making his decisions for him. I'm not shooting at anybody tonight. I'm just trying to get you ready for summertime. I just don't see why a person ought to be a good Christian 9 months a year. And I don't see why, I'll just say it, I don't see why a person ought to come to church while he or she is teaching in a Christian school somewhere, and then all summer long flit here and there and hardly come by and visit his home church at Hammond. This is your church. You have no more right to flit around the country because you're not teaching this summer than I have to flit around the country. This is your church as much as my church. Let's keep the harness on. And let's be spiritual and not dead while we live. Ask a question. With what are you making your life's decisions? Body or your spirit? Huh?
I said, I think in my Sunday school class, we fundamentalists are too wrapped up in toys. We're about things like a child is about little toys. We got a chair that'll hold us up. We want a prettier chair to hold us up. But the idea is to be held up. But we want a shinier chair to hold us up. You know what would be good for us? If all of us had two sets of garments, one washing and one on. We wouldn't be as decorated as we are. When I see some of you ladies, I want to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." It's Christmas. You remind me of the tree we have in our living room. Why can't we decide to do things that God wants us to do? Why can't we decide to bathe ourselves in that circle and let the spirit part of us make our decisions instead of the animal part of us? To that extent, most of us are living in death and not in life. There's only one place tonight I'm supposed to be, and that's where God wants me to be. Any other place is outside the circle of His will, and that's sin, and sin is death. Only one place, just one. That's all. There's so many things I want to say tonight, I'm a little afraid to say. I don't mean afraid you'll get mad. I mean I'm afraid I won't be understood. But the only people in this world tonight who are living as human beings are those who are living inside that circle and making their decisions of life by the Spirit and not the animal. Let's be human this summer. People make mistakes and sin. Well, after all, I'm only human. Well, if you're human, you'd be like Jesus. He's perfectly human. Always has been, always will be. Paul wrote Timothy and said there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's what the writer meant when he said, "Show thyself a man." What do you mean? Show thy muscles? No. What do you mean? Show thy beauty? No, though I have both. What do you mean? He meant show thy spirituality. That's what men are. Spiritual. Live this year. Don't die. Live.